Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus.
Reading from John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that which we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In a way, we have here a long passage to read. Another way, it's only a few minutes to read it. There must have been more that the Lord Jesus said to him. Nicodemus wasn't there, we may be sure, for only the few minutes it took us to read this. But here we have what God wants us to know by the inspiration given to John to record what took place here that evening. Let's pray that we'll have understanding of it, and that we will experience what is needed in the new birth and in believing, and also in repenting. Even though the word repentance is not used, it is a picture of repentance in the last part of that narrative. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Before that, they will not come to the light. Let's pray that we'll understand it and be hearers and doers of the word. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son. Help us to know that he who thought it not robbery to be equal with thee took on him the form of a man, and then humbled himself to the death of the cross. And we pray, Father, that we might have his mind, not only by instruction, as Paul could say, let this mind be in you, but we might have it especially by the Spirit giving us Christ, revealing him to us, taking the things of him and showing them to us in conviction, in leading into all truth, in revealing, in comforting, in all that is needed to glorify thy name, that we have here a gospel of grace, a gospel that is given undeserved to sinners. And we pray that it might be given to many to revive the church even today. We pray that it may be given to add to the church daily such as should be saved, as took place at the time of Pentecost and the early church. We pray, Father, that once more we might be called by the Word and Spirit in such a way that it will not be refused, that as Lord Jesus, the psalmist could say, that the Father said to thee, Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We give thanks for any enemies that have been made thy footstool, and we pray for the many that are needed to be made that today, to be made as little children. We pray for that first of all, the reviving in the church, the coming to be converted like little children, to be willing to learn of thee, Lord Jesus, and to be taught in such a way that the church will be made one as thou dost pray for. We pray also for the temporal needs of many that are suffering, the sick, the injured, the older age, the broken homes, the schools, the hungry, homeless, all these calamities that are there, many suffering because of different reasons, the war-torn lands, the persecuted. We pray, Father, for the children in the broken homes, that Thou will protect them, lead them, and any other areas, the sorrowing, give comfort through Christ. Amen. As we look at this once again, we have here words of Christ that are well known but may not be well understood. When we think of the new birth, except a man be born again, it is generally thought of not, first of all, as it's in Scripture, but as it is in different denominations or churches or doctrines. I've had it twice that when the new birth is mentioned, someone will say, oh, that's Baptist. Why? Why should it be limited to one part of the church that is called Baptist? Actually, it is not necessarily that. It is probably thought of that because it is thought of more as again than from above. Again, because we have to be saved. Many would identify that as being Baptist. And Baptists do teach that. Believe and be baptized. But this is talking about something more than what we do. This is speaking of something that we must have. And actually, those who are Reformed or Presbyterian should think of this as a teaching that their churches know and understand. It is linked with the depravity of sinners, depravity of the natural man. That's why, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Many will say, well, you'll do this and then you'll be born again. That isn't what Christ is saying. He isn't telling Nicodemus, you do this. He is saying, you have to have this. You have to be born again. Just in taking it in the third verse, you might actually take it either way. But when Nicodemus questioned it and said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? He also thinking something that he had to do. And actually, on the other hand, think of something that had to happen. Be born from his mother's womb. Nicodemus didn't have anything to do with that the first time, except to be a recipient of it. And he says, can that happen again? But the second time, Christ answers him and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then giving the clear teaching of what is really needed in the sixth verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's much today that is not anything more than of the flesh. Sometimes one person will tell another person to just repeat these words after me, and then you'll be born again. Just repeat this prayer. And if it were truly of the Spirit, that could take place in a right way. But more often than not, and I've heard people say, they told me to repeat those words. I did it, but I don't know if I'm saved. There was no witness of the Spirit. There was no taking place like Peter said on the day of Pentecost. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was already there doing one work, but you shall receive the gift of the Spirit would be the Spirit witnessing with the Spirit of those that truly repented and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. As Paul describes it in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That would then take place. That must take place. The reason we must be born again is actually, as Paul states, speaking to the church at Corinth, the natural man is enmity against God. That is actually Romans chapter 8. In 1 Corinthians, we read, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man doesn't receive what God tells us in his word, very plain. Believe, repent, obey. It says, for they are foolishness unto him. That's why we don't see the kingdom of God as it is. We don't see it in the many ways that we can think of the kingdom of God, and especially the one way we must see it, and that is the one who is the entrance to the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the door. How do we see him? Naturally. Isaiah had to give these sad words. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's why we have to be born again. That's how we think of Christ when he comes, and actually as the Son of God, becoming man, who is prophet, priest, and king. One who said just before his death, if I had not come, they had not had sin, had not spoken. He says, because he had spoken, they hated him. And that is exactly what the picture is of all of us in our natural state. And that's why we have to be born again. We have to be taken from being only in the flesh to have the Spirit of God change us, open our eyes, open our hearts. We read how Lydia's heart was open that she gave heed to the things of Paul. We read how the Lord Jesus opened the understanding of the apostles the evening of the resurrection, that they would understand the scriptures that spoke of Christ, including Isaiah here, the wonderful gospel given in that 53rd chapter of Christ, God laying on him the iniquity of us all. The first part there, he is despised and rejected of men. Christ basically tells Nicodemus the same thing. Verse 19 of this third chapter of John, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We are in the dark. We need our eyes open to see the light. And naturally, we hate the light. The next verse, verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Yes, we may picture Christ in our own way, our own thinking. The psalmist said, Psalm 50, thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. Do we think that God is angry with you and me over our sin? Do we think he's angry enough to send us to hell? Every one of us, all deserving it? If we don't think that, know that, realize that, then why did God have to send Christ? Why did he have to die in our stead if we don't deserve that punishment of death, eternal death? We have it here very plain, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We are perishing sinners. That's not only our natural way, it's our natural choice. And as Christ said, men love darkness rather than light. And then making it even stronger, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Would you dare to say you never did evil? If you did, you hate the light. we might not realize who Christ is. Many of the Jews were much in expectancy of Christ. They were ready to crown him king on what we call Palm Sunday. Hosanna to the name of the Son of David. The two men on the road to Emmaus, the afternoon of the resurrection, they were sorrowful. We thought it would be he who would deliver Israel. We're waiting for him to do our thing. Do we really know what he taught us in prayer? To hallow God's name, not ours, not our church, not our denomination. His name. He who tells us, my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and your ways, even as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts than yours. Where does that leave us? Down with all the rest of the people. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh God. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. We say we believe that, but do we feel it? Do we realize God's wrath on us because of that? And if things don't change for us from the day we're born through our years, and we aren't born again to see the kingdom of God, to see ourselves outside of it, if we haven't believed that, we will be in that number. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's not just believing Christ came and died. It's believing what he has said and what he has said right here. Many will take John 3:16. But will you take and will I take John 3:19? Light is coming to the world and you and me love darkness rather than light. I did. I had to learn it. And I still have to learn it even more. David learned it along the way as well as in the beginning. In the beginning, he learned he was in a horrible pit. He had to be taken out, his feet set on a rock. But there were other times, sadly, that he had to learn as well. That he had sinned and God was angry with him. My sins are more than I can count, more than the hairs of my head. He says they go over my head. My bones waxed old with a roaring. He felt the wrath of God. He felt it in his body, and I'm sure he felt it in his heart. It should make us weary and heavy laden. Yes, sadly, in the church, as well as in the world. The church today is so close to be like the Laodiceans. You say you are rich and need of nothing. We know that others are poor. We know it in our nation. Our political leaders know it of others. And right here in our own city, there are those that call our leaders liars. And maybe they're guilty. But there's no one that's not guilty. There's one group of politicians and a group of people that vote for them that are murderers, want to kill the unborn, want to keep on killing. There are those who bewail families being separated of immigrants that come. But I read this week of a woman, a picture in her mind. She had an abortion. She can see the doctor put her baby in a plastic bag and throw it in the garbage. That's the separation that most people in our country don't think about, don't care about. People say, well, that one had the most votes. What a shame that murderers had the most votes and voted for murderers in our courts, in our country. Leaders that want more. I've had a request in the mail of money just for one reason. Money to keep those in the Senate, in the government, to have a woman have her right, yes, her right to be wrong, her right to murder. And that's what it is. As I stand here today, between 2,000 and 3,000 babies have been murdered. That's what it is. It's the kind of killing that's planned. It's done. It's murder. When will we wake up after the judgment comes of God like it did on Judah? Like it did on Germany? Will we have to wait for that in the church? Yes. Those who want to keep the murdering to take place are adamant. And those who say they don't believe in it too often are asleep. Yes, asleep. God had to say to three of the churches to awake. One of them particularly, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ came to give life and to give it more abundantly. We're in such a state, we have to ask ourselves, do we really have life? Have we really seen the kingdom of God? Have we really been born again? Or do we have the form of godliness and deny the power thereof? Do we just think the new birth is for some others and other denominations? Are we actually that ignorant, that blind? Then we need to be born again. We need to be born of the Spirit. We need to be born of the water and of the Spirit. The water is the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And in that context, in Hebrews 11, remember how it begins. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It was not evolution. It was not that theory. It was framed by the Word of God. And if you don't believe that, you need to be born again. You need to see the kingdom of God spiritually and the natural as well. The heavens declare the glory of God. And if you don't see that, you're blind. The heavens are speaking. Do you hear? We're without excuse. Read Romans 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Yes, in the seminaries, in the colleges, in the churches, sadly, even so-called Christian schools, do not believe God made all things by the word of his mouth. He sent Christ to die for such sinners. Have you been born again and see the kingdom of God in yourselves outside of it? Then there's hope to be brought in through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.